bald man in the city. Me and my husband like living there. It's been years since the kids have grown, a life of their own left us alone. John and Linda.
Hey, how do you like Bette Midler? Why are we playing her this morning? Because she's coming to Tampa Bay. Yeah, she is. In a couple of months to Amalie Arena. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show out of Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. I am Paul Molloy. It's Wednesday. It's November 5th. It's one day post-election. Thank you for joining us. In a few minutes, we're going to talk with Mark Thornton of the Ludwig von Mises Institute, and among other things, we're going to talk about the elections, and in particular, the voting on marijuana. You know, it was on the ballot in several states, including here in Florida. So we're going to take Mark's thoughts on how things went, with an emphasis, quite frankly, on the medical marijuana issue. Also, if you were inside a telephone booth with earplugs, you don't know this, but a Republican landslide in national elections. So Barack Obama is going to have both houses controlled by Republicans to contend with, and we're going to talk about that as well. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10 list, the top 10 most expensive places to go and watch baseball as a fan. Now, these are major league stadiums. What do you think is the top stadium? We're going to ask Big Ed later because he is our stadium expert. He goes and eats hot dogs and drinks beers at all of the major league stadiums because he wants to find out, so he knows the answer to this. Anyway, Freedom Works. We come to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on the Tantalk Radio Network. We are here to talk about libertarian ideas. A lot of libertarians, by the way, on the ballot. We had a libertarian running for governor here. I don't know what percentage of the vote he got. Ah, Big Ed says he got 4%. Oh, you know what? That 4% made the difference between a close race, maybe, with our governor, Rick Scott, by the way, winning by one percentage point over Charlie Crist. One percentage point.
Now I look at it in a different, a better way. Charlie Crist losing by 1%.
Here's Charlie. Poor guy. He has gone to so much trouble to try to get back into office. He's even changed his stripes twice, and he still can't get back. What's a guy got to do to get reelected? That's probably what he's asking his wife this morning. What's a guy got to do to get reelected? Hey, I married you to get reelected, and I didn't get reelected. What's going on here? Anyway, we're going to do a lot of post-election kibitzing here in a couple of minutes. And you're going to want to go to our website, thefreedomworks.com. You're going to want to look and see about our past programs and who we've had as guests. And you can listen to those programs. Big Ed sets them up for you there. You just go to the podcast button, thefreedomworks.com. Also, you want to call in? Are you upset or happy about the elections? Our toll-free number is 866-826-1340, 866-826-1340. Well, in a few minutes, we're going to talk with Mark Thornton. We've had Mark on before. He's with the Ludwig von Mises Institute. And if you don't know anything about the von Mises Institute, Ludwig von Mises was an Austrian economist. He's basically, he's like Milton Friedman was, if you know Milton Friedman, and that is a free marketeer economist. And the von Mises Institute out of Auburn, Alabama, keeps up his philosophy. Mark is a resident fellow there and also the book review editor of the Quarterly Journal of Austrian Economics. We're going to talk a little bit about what we call the pot vote. He wrote an article on it. And not only was marijuana on the ballot here, it was also on the ballot in Alaska, Oregon, and also Washington, D.C. I think in California they had a proposal to make marijuana possession a misdemeanor. In other words, they're going to basically make it so that you can smoke marijuana and all you're going to get is, you're not even going to get your hand slapped. I suspect that it passed rather easily in California. Here in Florida, it did not. It did not. We're going to talk a little bit about why it did not, but it was a medical marijuana ballot. And I think most people, and I can only, you know, no mind reader here, but I think people worry that even though there are some people that would use it, responsibly for a condition, that it would be the ultimate green light, would you say, for everybody having it. And I tend to think that that may have occurred. We're a libertarian show. If we allow cigarettes and alcohol, I don't think you can make a case for not allowing marijuana. I just don't see it. I don't see the logic. Anyway, we'll have Mark on. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on there. Also, long as we're on local, huge issue here in the county of Pinellas, whether or not to pass what's called Greenlight Pinellas. It was a transit referendum, basically a light rail system and increased bus service in Pinellas County. And that went down to quite a defeat. 62% voted no on that. That's like twice the number of people that voted yes. Now, Greenlight Pinellas would have increased the sales tax to 8%. It would have made Pinellas County the highest sales tax county in Florida. And I think a lot of people just decided against it. We broadcast from what you might call the northern portion, or at least the start of the northern portion of the county, and people up here felt that they weren't going to get anything out of this. A lot of them did, at least north of Clearwater. And so it went down to a rather resounding defeat. Anyway, let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk pot, my friends, with Mark Thornton. So don't go away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tantalk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tantalk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
The Nutrition Center Hour is brought to you by Total Nutrition Center of Clearwater. Total Nutrition Center is a full-line supplement store located in the Bayside Bridge Shopping Plaza at the intersection of McMullen Booth Road and State Road 590, which is just one block north of Ruth Eckerd Hall. We've been servicing the Clearwater area with nutritional products and advice for almost two decades now. Call us with any questions at 727-724-1111. That's 727-724-1111. The website is totalnutritionusa.com.
Tune in to The Book Club with John Austin.
Well, I actually taught public speaking, as you probably know, in college for 7-8 years.
You could ask the questions and answer them yourself. I could just sit here.
You ask terrific questions, you listen, and you it's just a joy to work with you.
Well, I
we
love
should go on the road, you know?
Right, well, I'd be happy to. And
you may not be able to go on the road, but don't worry. We bring The Book Club to you every Tuesday at noon right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
The excitement happens every day at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. You can find yourself in the water with a dolphin, feeding a stingray, watching our world-famous dolphin shows, sailing on our eco boat tour, and even having your picture taken with a dolphin. The Clearwater Marine Aquarium is home of the world's most famous dolphin, Winter, the star of the movie Dolphin Tale, filmed at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Winter lost her tail but is now healthy and swimming freely due to a prosthetic tail. Be exposed to marine life and more. Take a behind-the-scenes tour to see how the animal hospital works. View the animal's food prep kitchen, the vet's lab, the surgical suite, and rehab areas. The aquarium houses river otters, sea turtles, stingrays, sharks, and a host of brilliant fish. Come to the Clearwater Marine Aquarium, 249 Windward Passage in Clearwater, or check them on the web at seawinter.com for more information. Open Sunday through Thursday, 10 to 5. Friday and Saturday, 10 to 6. Call 727-441-1790. Make plans to enjoy the day at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium, 249 Windward Passage in Clearwater, the official home of Winter, the star of the movie Dolphin Tale, a lasting memory.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works, and we're delighted to have our buddy Mark Thornton from the great Ludwig von Mises Institute out of Auburn, Alabama, joining us to kind of talk a little bit about post-election results, but mainly about medical marijuana and marijuana itself. It was on the ballot in several states, and Mark wrote an article about it called The Pot Vote. Mark, welcome again to Freedom Works.
Hey, Paul. It's great to be back on the show. It was a big, big victory for marijuana last night at the polls, except in the state of Florida, where only about 57-58% of Floridians came out and voted for legal medical marijuana. But, you know, I think that's still a move in the right direction. California, when Prop 19 came up in 2012, fell short with only 47% of the vote, but they basically decriminalized marijuana possession in California last night. But basically across the board, it was a victory for legalized pot, medical marijuana, and freedom and liberty for the American people.
Well, very interesting. And as you say, most people voted for it. Even here in Florida, we reached, I believe, like you said, 58% of the voters said yes to medical marijuana. But here, you've got to put it on the constitution of the state, which requires a 60% vote. So they just missed it. It may bode well for a second vote on it. But let's talk a little bit, Mark, about, first of all, the other states were, I believe, Alaska, Oregon, and possibly D.C. had it on the ballot, right?
That's correct, Paul. And in all those places, it passed, and it passed pretty easily in some of those places. It passed in Alaska. So that's recreational marijuana. Oregon, it passed. Washington, D.C., legalized recreational marijuana, as well as personal growing of marijuana in the nation's capital. So it passed in all of those areas. California decriminalized the possession of marijuana for recreational purposes. It's going to save the state hundreds of millions of dollars by not making that a crime, not involving the prison system and the court system. It was on the ballot in several local races. In the state of Michigan, for example, it was on the ballot in about 12 communities, and I don't have election results. I'm sure that it passed in most of those cities. And so, you know, it was a big victory, I think, and it's continuing the victories from the state of Colorado, the state of Washington, you know, and so if you add up the states with medical marijuana legalized and now recreational marijuana taking hold out west, this is something that is sweeping the nation. Public opinion polls now show that about 60% of Americans, I think the last Gallup polls had it at 58.5% of American adults support recreational legal pot. And so this is a move that is sweeping the nation. And in most places, the polling indicates that almost every age group except 55 and older or 65 and older support it overwhelmingly. And only in those upper age groups that oppose it in the majority, and the majority in the senior age groups is declining because seniors are finding out that medical marijuana is really one of the best things for their health in terms of what it does for their appetite, their anxiety, their pain, their ability to sleep, and all that kind of stuff. So it's really something that is absolutely sweeping the nation. I think Florida can be credited with going with 58% of the vote, despite all of the money that was spent against this, the interest groups that aligned against it, and frankly, a lot of the misinformation that I heard that was coming out of Florida and some of these other states that, you know, charges were being leveled and accusations were being made that the world would come to an end if we legalized pot in Alaska or Oregon or Florida.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In Florida, they wanted to say only for people that had a condition, in other words, medical marijuana. Why didn't they just put it on the ballot for recreational uses? Is that, was the recreational uses the issue in D.C. and in Oregon?
Yes, in most of those other votes, it's recreational marijuana, and that's what the opinion polls are about. Medical marijuana is supported by, I know a poll that was done here in my state of Alabama several years ago, and it found that 74% of Alabamians supported medical marijuana. So I think the figure for medical marijuana, and in the meantime, we've found out some of the amazing things that it can do. We've known for a long time that it stimulates appetite, that it reduces anxiety, that it reduces pain, that it permits better sleep, and so that it allows the body to heal itself. But now, in the last few years, we've learned that marijuana and hemp, the non-potent version of cannabis, can solve things like brain tumors and blood cancers, and you know, some amazing things that we're looking forward to seeing the testing done to see how many ailments and things that marijuana and hemp can actually cure on its own.
The medical
community, the biotech community, are moving forward on these matters, and it's really, like I said, it's sweeping the nation, and it's sweeping the world. I mean, everybody is saying we're not spending millions and billions of dollars bringing to trial people for marijuana possession who aren't a threat to society. They're not a threat to themselves. They're finding out that marijuana is much safer as a stimulant and as an intoxicant compared to other things like alcohol and Oxycontin and Vicodin that are really killing people. And, you know, and so these other industries, the pharmaceutical industries, the alcohol industry, the beer industry, they're all secretly putting money into these advocacy groups that are opposing medical marijuana. And so they're funneling money into these organizations that have, you know, great goals in keeping children drug-free and blah, blah, blah. But it's really Vicodin money that's, and whiskey money and beer money that's providing the money for the ads that you heard in the opposition to legalized marijuana in Florida. They're pulling the wool over people's eyes, but it's not working anymore, Paul. It's just not working.
We're talking with Mark Thornton, and as you can tell, he's very knowledgeable about the marijuana issue. He is a senior resident fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute. He's also the book review editor of the Quarterly Journal of Austrian Economics. Mark, is there a marijuana tablet? In other words, a lot of people are offended, I guess you could say, or are taken aback by people smoking it. Smoking something doesn't look good to people. But there are tablets, or there is a way you can take it orally, correct?
Oh, yes. And, you know, anything smoking opium, smoking tobacco, you know, it's all got a very negative connotation
right.
in American society. But marijuana can be produced in a pill form. It can be produced, you can put it in food products, which is very common.
like brownies.
like brownies. But, you know, those things can be very dangerous.
Yes.
So I always add a note of caution that because people, when you cook with marijuana, you increase the effective potency content to its maximum possible limit. None of it goes up in smoke, Paul. It's all going right into your blood. And there's a delay, a long delay between ingestion and getting high with brownies and cookies, whereas if you smoke it, it immediately goes into your system and you know you're already high. And so there's been a lot of problems with the food-based marijuana of people just getting way, way too much, especially if they're not used to it. So I always add a note of caution that you have to be very careful and take it easy when you're going that approach. But of course, eventually we're going to have a lot of different ways to administer marijuana drugs and hemp-based drugs. And hemp-based drugs do not have the THC content in it. The other major chemical in marijuana and cannabis is CBD, and not just THC. And CBD is also a medical component that has a great deal of promise in solving very cheaply medical issues, cancers, seizures, and so forth. We're finding out that there's just a tremendous number of uses for both CBD and THC, and we're just hoping the government gets out of the way so that we can test this stuff and that it can be produced commercially, and it can be produced in a way that it's much safer than in black market conditions where you really don't know how much THC you're getting and what chemicals have been applied to it and so forth, because this is a plant that can be grown organically so that you're not getting pesticides and chemicals and herbicides and so on, so that it can be even safer if it's grown under commercial conditions. And that's what we're looking forward to, and I think that's what's going to happen in our future in the near term in the United States and around the world.
Yes, I think getting it out from under the hands of drug pushers is going to be one of the best things when it passes across the country, because indeed you don't know what you're getting when you're just buying it off the street from somebody. And if it's produced legally, all of those qualifications would make it a lot safer. And have they not been carrying on studies, Mark, though, for the health benefits of marijuana for some time? Wouldn't they have some sort of, or do they have any kind of, definitive studies on what it can do?
Oh, sure. I mean, we've known, for example, that it's the best thing for glaucoma for decades. And we know that it's a very good product for people with cancer and people with AIDS. It's just these newer things about seizures in children. I mean, it appears to solve the problem. I mean, a child with, 100 seizures per day and then starts administering hemp CBD to the child and their seizures drop to 3 per day, it's pretty self-evident, but we haven't gone through, the formal FDA-type testing that takes so long and is so expensive. For pharmaceuticals, it can be $1 billion per drug. And so there's a lot of barriers there that the government has besides just making it illegal. And most of the government research money is only given out to people who are trying to show that marijuana is somehow bad for you. And of course, everything is bad for you in some sense or some degree or in some dosage. But if you're trying to prove the benefits of marijuana, you're not going to get funded by the government. If you're trying to prove that it causes some kind of problem, then you'll get all the funding you want. That's just how the bureaucracy has been forever, as far as I know. I mean, I don't think they've ever been pro-pot. They've always been more or less a kind of propaganda arm of the war on drugs.
Do you think, looking at the other side of it, a lot of people are worried about the ill effects of marijuana, what it does to your function, let's say you're functioning before you get into a car. Does it indeed create some sort of a, I don't know what the word would be, a complacency or a euphoria? Also, there's concern about whether or not marijuana can in some ways be bad for your body, poisonous in some ways. Could you, what would you say to people that are concerned about those things?
Well, there's certainly some possibilities there. I mean, you definitely don't want to smoke marijuana before driving a car or operating heavy machinery or anything of the sort. I mean, that would certainly not be recommended. You would be recommended not to do that kind of thing. And, of course, there are problems with habitual long-term marijuana consumption. You know, people who use marijuana all day long, every day, for long periods of time are ill affected by that. But of course, we're not sure what the cause and effect of that is. Is this just a lazy, no good for nothing person who's just smoking pot, or is the pot causing the lazy, no good for nothing person? We don't know that. And so, yeah, I mean, as I said before, everything is dangerous, especially if taken in the extreme. And you're going to have some problems like that. There's no doubt about that. But it's certainly much less than with things like alcohol, which is much more dangerous, causes much more violence. Marijuana does not cause violence, where alcohol does seem to instigate violent behavior. And the amount of problem drivers with marijuana is far, far less than with alcohol. As a matter of fact, they found that with the decriminalization of marijuana in several states in the 1960s and 70s, that the number of highway fatalities actually declined as people switched from alcohol to marijuana. Of course, the combination of alcohol and marijuana is even more dangerous in terms of driving or operating machinery. So, yes, I mean, there's no doubt you can't dismiss the fact that there's problems involved with marijuana as there is with just about everything else. And that's why you've got to levy the heaviest possible punishment on people who cause those social ills.
Mark, finally, just your overall take on the elections yesterday and the huge, I guess you could say, Republican juggernaut.
Well, one of the things that I can say that might not be said on the air by the typical guest is that this was a big blow for the environmental movement, the movement to try to shut down our energy network and, you know, to expand our energy network and to become a net exporter of energy. You know, an economy has to have energy, electricity, fuel to function. And, you know, I can say that this is going to be good for the United States. It's going to be good for the world economy. Oil prices are already falling. And the Republicans will hopefully block efforts to shut down the energy network and the efforts to expand the energy network, such as the XL pipeline. And so I think that was probably one of the best things that we can take away from this election. You know, I don't trust the Republicans in some sense, but hopefully they'll be forced to uphold some of their promises with respect to energy freedom as well. And they won't try to shut down, for example, the legalized marijuana in Washington, D.C. If they do that, I think they'll pay an electoral price down the road.
And do you think it was a positive for free market economics like the von Mises Institute backs?
Well, I hope so. You know, the Republicans taking control, I always feel a little more comfortable when the government is divided. Because when the Republicans take full control, they usually end up, you know, breaking things and causing wars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So let's hope for the best that that the Republicans will push a free market agenda, and they'll block some things that the Democrats would push, and that they'll you know, hopefully shrink the deficit, cut taxes, cut regulations. There's certain things that they can do and get done that they need to get done for the American people and get the economy revved back up. That's the path to prosperity and freedom, and hopefully they'll come through with some of that for the American public.
Well, thank you very much, Mark Thornton. Mark Thornton, again, Senior Resident Fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute, book review editor of the Quarterly Journal of Austrian Economics. Mark, it's always a delight to have you on. I can just sit back and listen to you forever. So thanks very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Paul. Mises.org.
Mises.org. Absolutely. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Don't go away. We got lots to talk about. If you go to baseball games and want to know how much it costs you, we're going to give you the 10 worst places to go. So stick around for that.
He was a famous trumpet man from our Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blown reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
It's the Employment Opportunity Hour with Gene Hodge. Every Thursday night from 7 until 8.
So the purpose of the show is to help you out there to find something that you enjoy doing instead of a job. And at the start of the show, I normally give out a formula, which I know will guarantee you to find the type of job that you want right now.
Find out the formula to an enjoyable job with Gene Hodge's Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday night from 7 until 8 here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing. Our exciting independent lifestyle is the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips for shopping, local restaurants, theater, and more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury waterfront senior living with a $1 million view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service really makes the difference.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new, Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Have you ever wanted to ride in a hot air balloon? Well, you can with Orlando Balloon Rides. It's an adventure of a lifetime. Take a ride in a hot air balloon. You will fly with the winds on a truly amazing journey. Explore Florida from the orange groves to the theme parks and more. See it all from a whole new vantage point. Experience total excitement from start to finish. You will ascend above the treetops to several thousand feet. This is an experience of a lifetime. Visit OrlandoBalloonRides.com for more information. That's OrlandoBalloonRides.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
That bugle call sounds like a wake-up call for Republicans after last night. In fact, we want to talk a little bit about, you might call it the Republican tsunami, juggernaut, landslide, whatever the word is that you prefer. But voters handed control of the Senate to Republicans for the first time in 8 years. That puts the GOP in charge both houses of Congress. They also gained about 25 additional seats in the House for a number of seats that is almost a record. The post-World War II record of 246 seats was set in 1946. And I said 25, but at least 12 seats have been gained by the Republicans in the House. Now, they have picked up more than the 6 seats that they needed in the Senate to take control. And that means that they're going to be in charge of spending the money on any bills and also creating and sending to the president the legislation that he either signs or vetoes. So it'll be very interesting. One of the first things that Republicans will probably do is to pass the bill that would connect the Keystone Pipeline, because there's so many jobs that are promised with that pipeline work. And that will be sent, I would suspect, to President Obama rather quickly in January. And whether or not he vetoes it will give everybody an indication of what he's, if he's going to be, let's say, working with the Congress. Now, Mitch McConnell will become the Senate Majority Leader. He will replace Harry Reid, who may be taken out of that position kicking and screaming. Apparently, Harry Reid was very upset about the Democrats losing control of the Senate. So President Obama has two more years with a completely controlled Republican Congress. This will give Republicans new powers. They'll be able to, for instance, launch investigations, hold hearings in both from both chambers. They can hold up key appointments of President Obama if they don't like them. Of course, they're going to pass GOP-favored legislation, and by doing so, force President Obama's hand, force him to veto things. It will make President Obama kind of look like the fall guy when he vetoes a lot of that legislation. But maybe Obama will really sit down with the Republicans from both houses and tell them that, you know, let's try and get a few things passed together. He plans to hold a press conference at about 3 o'clock this afternoon from the White House on the heels of the election results. It'll be interesting to see whether or not he says that, you know, in one way or the other, takes the blame for it, or perhaps shows his pique a little bit about what occurred. Now, Mitch McConnell, as we said, has taken control of the position of Senate Majority Leader. It's something I think he's been questing for a long time. And here's what he said after his victory. Tomorrow, meaning today, the papers will say I won this race, but the truth is, tonight, meaning last night, we begin another one. One that's far more important, and that's the race to turn this country around. But he's getting himself ready to roll as the Senate Majority Leader. And you know, he's got a lot of experience. And he is the kind of guy, I think, because of his experience and really political ability, that will probably be a guy that can help bring together some of the factions in the Republican Party, the Tea Parties and the moderates, to talk a little bit more and kind of settle things down. So I guess it's a happy day for people that are, you know, are more free marketeers, libertarians. I think they're happy about the medical marijuana being passed. In the meantime, they're also happy about the economic issues that will probably take a right turn for the next couple of years. Anyway, let's take our break. Getting ever closer to the costliest baseball stadiums.
He was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Zoom Air Adventure Park Orlando, ziplining at its best. A Zoom Air Adventure is a great outing for families, friends, or coworkers. This entertaining self-propelled attraction gives both nature lovers and challenge seekers the opportunity to enjoy the thrill of adventure.
Thrill of adventure.
Feel your adrenaline pump as you conquer abundant treetop challenges, including exhilarating rides on our zipline. Visit ZoomAir.us for more information. That's ZoomAir.us.
Hello, I'm Jim Velasquez. Does getting a lousy 1% on your CDs make you sick to your stomach? Inflation is hovering at 3%, so what's really happening? Allow me, Jim Velasquez, to send you my free report. If you haven't reviewed your CDs in a while, don't get this report. It will break your heart. If you want to fight back and beat the bank, text RETIRE to 72727 for this free report. Let's beat the bank. Text RETIRE to 72727 for your free report.
Arg, matey. When it's time for lunch, when it's time for dinner, when the show's over, when the day's over, when it's time to chill, where do we go? Over to Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub. It's literally in our backyard, right in back of the WTAN studios at 700 Eldridge Street, just north of downtown Clearwater. Just look for the broadcast tower. Nancy's food and atmosphere get rave reviews. The laid-back patio is a great place to hang out, dine, and listen to live music at night. And Nancy's one of the friendliest proprietors in town. And now, Nancy is serving Sunday jazz brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Brunch served with eggs benedict, crepes, waffles, lox and bagels, shrimp, oysters, and a build-your-own omelet. That's all at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub, 700 Eldridge Street in Clearwater. That's right where Eldridge crosses the Pinellas Trail between Myrtle and Fort Harrison. Call 446-3717. 446-3717. You're listening to the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Just listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all... This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
And I am all alone.
We're back on Freedom Works. Thank you very much for joining us this Wednesday morning. And there are other things going on in the world besides the off-year elections, as they call them, off-year presidential elections. And one of the things is... education continues, and I've got a story here that a Gallup poll has come out on the Common Core program, and teachers and parents are not giving high marks to Common Core, according to the Gallup poll. It shows widespread dissatisfaction with these national curriculum standards in the first few months of this implementation. Now, Gallup released this poll last week, and they're conducting apparently an extensive series of polling on Common Core. They have found that nearly two-thirds of public school teachers do have concerns about Common Core. Now, Common Core is designed to implement a standard of mathematics and English, a baseline standard for all participating states. An earlier survey conducted by Gallup found 44% of teachers thought negatively of Common Core. But more bad news apparently for Common Core, because 60 to 65% of America's teachers are either frustrated or worried by Common Core. Only 20% of teachers are enthusiastic. Now, we'll talk more about that issue tomorrow, not tomorrow, but Friday, when we have Heather Kayes from the Heartland Institute, our regular Friday interviewee, when we talk about American education. Also, here is something I just have to talk about. I've been saving this one, but did you know strip club dancers in Nevada are now going to be considered employees of the places that they do their routines? In a ruling that may prove costly for the owners of these strip clubs, the state Supreme Court says dancers at Las Vegas clubs are employees, not independent contractors. Therefore, they get the minimum wage. They get the minimum wage. Now, this was a unanimous ruling. It happened last week, and it was issued because of a class action lawsuit, which was filed 5 years ago on behalf of dancers at a particular Las Vegas club. Now, it sends this decision by the state Supreme Court, sends the case back to the county. Las Vegas County is Clark County, and the county district court for hearings to determine how much more money are these dancers owed than they have received. Now, here's the thing. If you're a strip club owner and you have to pay a minimum wage, now, how do you handle that? They're going to figure out a way to get around that, I guarantee you. Because let's face it, these dancers at these places, these strip clubs, don't they work on tips? That's what they work on. That's where they make most of their money. And if they're being paid the minimum wage, you watch. The owners are going to demand that all of the tips go to the club, and then they'll divvy them out and figure out a way to pay minimum wage. And I don't think that the, you know, in other words, there's always the unintended consequences of things like this. I find it a kind of an interesting situation. Also, this is disturbing. Let's stay out west for a second. Some people teaching school, I don't know how they ever get their degree. An Arizona college professor says that American soldiers are anti-Muslim rapists who pose, quote, a greater threat, unquote, to world peace than ISIS. And he says he leveled the charge to make the U.S., quote, stronger and better, unquote. Now, how does a guy like that get his degree? University of Arizona instructor Musa Al-Garbi, who is also an academic affiliate of the university's Southwest Initiative for the Study of Middle East Conflicts, made these comments in a column that he wrote and for some online website. And then he was reached by the Washington Free Beacon. It's a newspaper. During that interview, he called Americans, quote, hypocritical, unquote, for expressing moral outrage at the Islamic State. Now, the Islamic State has been doing quite a bit of damage, murdering, beheading, raping, not only non-Muslims, but Muslims. But here's what Musa Al-Garbi has to say. He says, quote, it would not be a stretch to say that the United States is actually a greater threat to peace and stability in the region than ISIS, not least because U.S. policies in Iraq, Libya, and Syria have largely paved the way for ISIS emergence as a major regional actor. Well, I'm not quite sure that it's because of America that that organization is running around beheading other Muslims, Christians, and all of the other things. That sounds to me like a convenient excuse. Anyway, we're going to start. I always do this thing too late, Big Ed, our top 10. And when we do that, we always run out of time at the end. That happened on Halloween's program. So we're going to start at a minute or two early here. But I've got, I think, a very interesting poll. This is the top 10 costliest baseball stadiums as far as being a fan. Now, when you go to the game, Ed, I got to ask you, typically, a typical fan, what would he do besides the price of the ticket, which factors in? You're going to, you know, an adult will what? Have a beer or two, maybe a hot dog, right? That kind of thing.
Or a soda or a $4 water.
$4 water, exactly. Yeah. And if you bring your kids, a couple of your kids. Okay. So this is.
Now, some stadiums allow you to bring food and drink.
Do they?
Yes. Drop Cannonfield is one of them.
You can bring in your own food. They'll check the basket and make sure there's nothing illegal. Right. You can't bring. Can you bring beer in and stuff?
No, you can't bring that.
Okay, fair enough. Well, here's the way this thing goes. These are the top 10 parks, Major League Baseball parks. They are the costliest for a fan to watch a Major League Baseball game. I'm going to give you the typical price. I'm not sure what it probably includes the cost of your ticket, a couple of beers and a hot dog. We'll see. So here we go. The top 10 costliest stadiums. Number 10, Comerica Park. That's in Detroit.
Hmm.
The cost, it's called the Fan Cost Index, $219.88. Now, I got to figure that includes your ticket.
Parking,
right? A couple of beers and a hot dog. Hmm. So you're going to spend about $220 in Detroit. Number 9. Not far away, Ed. Marlins Park. Marlins Park is number 9. I would have been, I'm shocked at this one. Miami Marlins. Fan cost index there, $221.
Wow.
Is it because they got a new park?
Yeah.
They
got to pay
for
it somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Number eight. We go to Washington, D.C. Nationals Park is number eight. Fan cost index, $228. Now, that's a new, relatively new team. But that's an expense. Only the politicians there can afford to watch baseball at that park. Number seven. Number seven, we go to New York. And the New York Mets, City Field. The fan cost index for the Mets in the Big Apple is $230. Wow. Number six. A little delay on the drum roll here. Number six, we go to Busch Stadium, St. Louis. The Cardinals, here's the fan cost index there. And by the way, you probably can only get a Budweiser there or one of its related products. $234. Number five, out to the West Coast, San Francisco, AT&T Park is the fifth most expensive. $240. Wow. Number four, Philadelphia, Citizens Bank Park. The Phillies charge $258. That's a lot. Number three, not so friendly confines. Wrigley Field, Chicago is number three. The fan cost index for Cubbies, $305.
Got to pay for Joe Madden.
And Joe Madden is going to make it, instead of $305, we're going to be about $400. Number two. Okay, this is going to, because I was going to ask Ed who he thinks number one is, and this may have been the one he would have guessed.
Yankees.
Number two, indeed, is Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
Yankee Stadium, the Yankees, and the fan cost index there is $337. So, Ed, I've given you, you probably didn't hear all of them. You're on the phone for a moment, but I'm going to, there's only one stadium left.
Okay. I'm going to say just across the river and say the Mets. I don't know.
The New York Mets?
Yeah.
Well, we already had the Mets.
Oh, okay.
The Mets were actually number seven.
Okay, that's the one I won't call.
So we got the Mets and the Yankees. Do you have any other teams you would think might?
Let's go L.A.
No, go to the East Coast. I'm going to give you a big hint.
Okay.
Go to the East Coast. It's been a perennial winner.
The Atlanta Braves?
Go up north. Go north of New York. That's a huge hint.
Yeah, I give up.
Okay. Here we go. The number one costliest stadium to watch Major League Baseball is?
It's got to be enormous.
Fenway Park.
Ah.
Fenway Park in Boston. You know what it cost? $351.
Wow.
$351. What are you going to get there? Boston baked beans and a beer?
Guess.
I don't know.
I guess.
That's scary. Anyway, thank you for joining us.
Give me 1 minute.
Freedom Works. We'll be back on Friday. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And bye for now.
There's no one here beside me. And my problem.